He is so worthy. We give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor due your name. We thank you for your presence here, leading us, guiding us by the truth of your word. Give us exactly what we need to see to be more like you. Give us your ability to then take what you show us and actually live it out throughout the rest of our lives. We thank you in advance for all that you're going to do in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure for me to be back here again. I enjoy this. I think I've shared it before. There's nothing I'd rather be doing. It's just something God's put in me. When I get to share, I'm having the time of my life. Partially because I get to hear what I'm saying too. And I happen to believe that God gives me, I pray that he gives me what we need to hear. And trust me, I need to hear it as much as I think some of you might need to hear it too, if it's what God has for us, which is what my prayer is. And I appreciate the prayers of those, because I know there are people that pray for me that, in fact, I am sharing what God wants you to hear, and that it's not what I think you need to hear. That's not how this should work. So I want to pick up on where we were last week, do a brief review, not a whole lot, but maybe develop something a little more clearly that I shared. And it's because, well, once again, it's what the Holy Spirit led me to do. When I went back to start this again, he had me add this section to what I'd already prepared for this week. But what he impressed upon my heart was is that someone, or maybe more than someone, needed to hear this again, maybe in more detail. And that was the fact that we talked a little bit last week. We were in Acts chapter 16. Even though this study is on Philippians, I mentioned that the background to the letter that Paul writes to the Philippians is found in Acts chapter 16. So that's where we spent our time last week. And in doing so, one of the early things that was mentioned was in Acts chapter 16, verse 6. And it says there, "Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia." Now, it doesn't say how they were forbidden, but these were men of God. Remember who this is. This is Paul, Silas, Timothy. You know, these are men of God who hear from God. And we can see here that they are led by the Spirit. The Spirit prohibited them somehow. And they listened to what the Holy Spirit did, and they didn't go to Asia. So they're being led by the Spirit. And in so doing, they then waited on the Lord. Okay, we're not to go here. What are we supposed to do? Where are we supposed to go? And at least within the chapter, it seems like in a very short time, God then gives them a vision so that they know where to go and what they're to do. And one of the things that I mentioned last week, and I've shared this before in other teachings, but I think it bears coming out again. When God shows you what not to do, that is as important as when God shows you what to do. Okay? The way I shared it last week was often he'll stop you from doing something before he then gives you what you are to do. Now, sometimes you can, and once again, don't put God in a box. Sometimes he'll let you keep doing what you're doing and then give you something else to do along with it. But he will also do this. He will stop you and say, nope, you're not going to do that. You're going to go do this. So pay attention to those stoppings, okay? Okay, heed those. They're really important. Now, I wanted to go on with this in that what's really interesting to see here is that, once again, these are men of God led by the Spirit. I talked about it a little bit last week about how it was in doing this that the church in Philippi was started. They didn't go to Asia. They saw the vision. They went to Philippi, and the church starts. And then what was really interesting was seeing how then the church began to grow. And this is actually another case of them following the Holy Spirit. And I'll say specifically Paul here as much as anyone, but if any of them would have mentioned something about, hey, this man is this, or Paul would have done it himself, things could have turned out differently. And oftentimes, differently especially when it's not what God wants, turns out bad. Okay? And in this case, Paul was led not to share that he was a Roman citizen. And in so doing, it looks bad in the natural because they're beaten and thrown in prison and they're put in chains. Okay? But this is a man, once again, led by the Holy Spirit. And so he doesn't share. And here's what's important. To me, it's fun. I know Randy often does this. In fact, loves going back and sharing how the Old Testament ties into the New Testament. And what we see actually happening here is based out of, and it's the same thing happening from Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20. I asked someone yesterday, do you know what it is? And then I told them Genesis, and they go, oh, then now I know. And it's near the end of Genesis. And if you think through Genesis, you think of the creation, the fall, the flood, the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. Well, if we're in 50, we've reached out to Joseph. In other words, you've gone through towards the end. And so what did Joseph say that would apply here? It's found in chapter 50, verse 20. And it says, but as for you, this is Joseph speaking to his brothers. But as for you, you meant evil against me. But God meant it for good. In order to bring it about as it is this day. See, Satan was trying to use these attacks on them to hurt them. I mean, how much worse does it get than getting beaten and thrown in prison and in chains? Okay, I don't know that any of us has found ourselves in that situation, but we do find ourselves where Satan and or others at the direction of Satan are doing things to hinder what God wants to do. They're not God, but they're happening because Satan is involved and the world is involved. But what I want you to see, and this is really why God had me go back here, I think sometimes when we're in a bad situation, something's going on that isn't going well at all, and we can look at it and go, there just doesn't seem to be any good way out of it. And so all we want is out, okay? I mean, it's just nice being out of the bad situation. Be it good or bad, we just want out. And what the Holy Spirit is encouraging me to say to you all today, but I think some specifically need to hear, don't just look for a way out. This verse says, if you're his, there's going to be a good way out. And there's a good result coming because he's with you and he's going to take what the enemy meant for evil and he's going to turn it for good. The key is, are you doing it his way? See, if you start doing it your own way, you're messing up what he's trying to do. And you may say, oh, but it's still getting worse. Yeah, get out of the way. And I'm saying that to myself, okay? If I'm still doing it the way I think I need to do it, guess what? It's probably going to get worse. What I have to do is get out of the way and be led by the Spirit and do it his way. And then all that Satan's trying to do is going to be turned around for good. So that's for someone here to hear. It's going to turn out good as long as you're doing what God through his Holy Spirit is leading you to do. Okay? Now I got to see where I am in my notes. Sometimes I just get going and I go, now what was I going to do next? Yes. So now I want to go back in now to where we kind of ended last week. And that was, I ask each one of you to read the book of Philippians and look for what I would call the main theme. Now, I didn't go into more instruction than that because in doing so, how would I put it? I would have given you a bias, meaning that you may have looked at it in a certain way and then come up to a certain conclusion or answer. I didn't want to shape your answer is what I'm saying. So I left that rather broad. And in doing so, I thought later, well, maybe I could have been a little more clear. I had a couple people reach out to me. What did you mean? Okay. So I'll kind of restate that here. And if because of my unclearness, you didn't get this last week, read it again this week. Okay. And look for this. But you're going to get a little bit of the bias thrown in because that's where we're going to go next. You're going to see what God showed me and some others. And that is what I mean by looking for the main theme. That doesn't mean, like Brian Will shared with us yesterday, we should be looking each day as we go into the Word, what word is the Holy Spirit speaking to me? This verse, and it'll stand out. In this analogy that we're going through, we talked about last week, we're going to look at the forest, and then we're going to look at the trees, then we're going to look at the branches, and then we're going to look at the leaves. If you picked out a certain verse, that's not the main theme. You're looking at a tree. Or no, you're actually looking at the branch there. You've gone down and you go, oh, I see this branch. I'm asking you to look at the forest. In other words, the theme is that which runs throughout, from beginning to end. Okay? It's what everything else is being presented in and around and through. Okay? So, and I will say there are what God showed me. There's probably a couple main themes you could choose. So there's not necessarily one exact right answer. And just because I give the answer, that doesn't mean that I'm right and you're wrong or vice versa. Okay? It's what God through His Spirit is going to show you. And what I'm going to encourage you to do is whatever God shows you, then kind of apply what God is showing me for you as you go back and look at this throughout the rest of the time. He's showing you that for a reason. Okay? But as I shared last week, one of the things that God impressed upon me, this is different for me, and that is He wants me to do it this way. And I'm thinking if He wants me to do it this way, it might be good for some of you too. It's just another way to, as you're studying the Word of God, looking at the Word of God, it's a way to do it. And He was showing me maybe to get better context and see some things that I didn't see before. If I just go straight for looking at the leaves, I may see some things, but I also may miss some things because I'm not getting it in the full context. If we start looking at the trees and then the branches, or the forest and the trees and the branches, and then we start looking at the leaves, we're going to have the full context and get a better idea of what those leaves are really saying to us, okay? So in doing this, what I've really enjoyed is talking to some of you who I have given this assignment to, the homework assignment, and hearing what God showed you. And first of all, I did it to four people outside of the church because I hadn't presented this to you yet. I'd given it to some other people. And one of the stories to me is quite funny. You have to know my sister and myself and my brother-in-law. We have this game that we play, and I'm drawing a blank on the name of it, but it's subjective in that the answers you give, the rest of the people playing can say whether that was an acceptable answer or not. Now, I can tell you that oftentimes my brother-in-law's answers are rejected by my sister and myself in particular, both of us. And he says, "You Ericssons think alike." And he said it so many times, it's pretty funny. Well, anyhow, I can tell you that I gave this to my sister and brother-in-law to do. And my sister came down the very next day. She'd read it. She handed me a piece of paper. She'd written it out. And this sentence she had written out was word for word what God had showed me, except for she used two words to say what I said in one. And when I shared that with my brother-in-law, he said it again. "I told you, you Ericssons are just alike." Because he didn't see that when he read it. Okay? I found that hysterical. But other people have found, typically, there's been one of four answers. Okay? And two of them, I will say, are probably more likely the main theme, but the other two you can see throughout it, but I'm going to share with you why I separate them from the other two, okay? And I'll start by one of the main things that people saw. One of them, this being my brother-in-law, was one of these, was found to be love. And another couple that I asked to read this was Kevin and Kelly Burrows. And what Kevin saw was love, like my brother-in-law, throughout the whole thing. Now, I will tell you, you may not see the word love that many times through it. However, Kevin, when he responded to me, said, "I read this. I put myself in the place of this letter is coming to me. I'm reading this like Paul is sending it to me." And he said, "I could not believe how in a way that made me feel or respond when I actually read it that way. He said it had a huge effect on me. Just reading it, I'd never had that happen to me quite like that before. And what he saw in doing this, it's interesting because what this book was called, and I'll see if I can find it in my notes, it was called Pro Philippians. That's what the book was called back in that day. And do you know what Pro Philippians means? It means to the Philippians. So he was reading it like it was to him, because that's how you're going to get what it is you're supposed to get. You got to read it like, this is to me. And it is to us, because God gave Paul this to write for us for eternity. Okay? So read it like it's to you. So I will encourage you, go back and read it again this week. Homework assignment again. Read this like it's written to you. See what you get when you read it that way. This is written to me. Okay? So he is actually writing out of a heart of love. And you have to think about it. These are men of God who, how would I put this? We know that they love God. You're not going to go out and, let's say, go to these places that they went if you don't have a heart and a love for God and for his people. Okay? And so, and it's the case with really every book we read in the Bible. How many of you know, I think 1 John makes it pretty clear that God is love. And these words are the inspired words of God to man, through man, for man. And so, as opposed to calling love the main theme or the forest, I looked at this and what God kind of showed me was to look at it as Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 says. How many of you remember that verse? We shared it when we were covering love. And that is that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you be rooted and grounded in love. You see, this forest that has been planted. Remember, we're talking about here. We went back and started in Acts 16. This letter hasn't been written yet. They've gone and they're actually doing the planting. Okay? This church is being planted in Philippi. And this church is rooted and grounded in the love of God, and as also part the love that God has instilled in Paul and those who are with him for the people in the church of Philippi. If you read this book like it's written to you and think, this man who's writing to me loves me. And this is what he's writing out of a heart of love. Okay? In fact, my brother-in-law, and I found this interesting, but it makes sense. I actually checked this with Randy, did some math. Our historian, you know, has some idea of exactly when things happened, or at least a better idea than I often do. I'd kind of looked at some things and saw, okay, none of these are concrete dates, but it is figured that Paul was probably born around 5 to 10 AD. Okay, in other words, 5 to 10 years after Jesus was born. Ballpark. And that this letter to the Philippians is written somewhere ballpark 60 to 62 AD. Okay? So if you do the math, Paul is somewhere around 60 years old, ballpark, because it could have been a little earlier, could have been a little later. But now I will tell you, and I wrote down a few stats in here because I found them interesting, and I'll see if I can actually find them in our notes, in my notes. It was really interesting to see the lifespan of those who lived at that time. And I don't think I'm going to catch it here. What I may do is mention that next week. But what I will say now is that 60 during that time was old. In other words, the life expectancy, easy to say, not really, was much less than that for most people. Okay? Now, if you reached your teenage years, then you had a better chance of reaching your late 50s or around 60. But so many died when they were younger that really the average age might have been more like in the late 30s or early 40s of a life expectancy. So when you're reaching 60, this was an older man in their day. And as such, he had spent some time and he had gained some wisdom and he had loved people. My brother-in-law, when he looked at this, he said, you know, it's almost as if Paul, knowing he is an older man, is now reaching out to those who he loves. Knowing that, hey, I'm not going to be around here that much longer. How many of you have ever had a meeting where you've got to talk to someone who you know you love and they love you, and they know they're near the end of their life? They share some things that are important to them that they want you to get even after they've gone on to be with the Lord. And my brother-in-law said, it's almost like that's what he's doing here. Now, once again, that would just be conjecture, but he is later in life and he is writing out of love. And so he's sharing some things that he wants to make sure that they get this, both now, but even after he's gone, okay? Because he loves them. And he knows that this, if they walk in what he's sharing here, things are going to go much better for them once he's gone. He doesn't want it to stop with him saying, okay, everything's going good while I'm here and I'm here to correct you and make sure everything's going okay. You've got to be able to live this out once I'm gone. And that's what love would do. So the first thing that you may have saw, and several of those that got back to me actually saw this love throughout the whole thing. But to me, the way God was showing it to me is not so much being the main theme, but the fact that that's the way this forest was planted. It's all based on love, the love of God and the love of the men who were there for the people. Okay? Now, we're going to go on to the second thing. And this was probably the primary answer I got from everyone that I asked in response. And I will tell you that it was half of the answer that my sister and I gave. I'll also tell on us. I kind of asked for one thing, and we both had two in our answer. Just the way we work. Wanted to make sure we got all of our bases covered, okay? But as I answered that way, and as my sister answered that way, I kind of got the same thing. And that is, part of our answer could be seen as the main thing. The other half was that which how the main theme was presented. And the answer that I got more than anybody is, this was a letter all about joy. Joy and rejoicing. If you were to look, some of you actually even counted it and told me how many times it's mentioned as you went through it. I can tell you it's over and over and over again throughout the whole book. The number of times that Paul mentions joy and rejoicing from beginning to end in this. So I could see why you might choose that as the main theme. However, what God showed me is that the main theme is presented in joy. In other words, that's the fruit of the Spirit that the main theme is being presented in. So there's a fruit in this forest because it's a fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit isn't the tree. It's what comes off the tree. So as you go into this forest, there's fruit in here, and it's the fruit of joy from beginning to end. And that's kind of amazing in that if you think of the setting, Paul is in prison. And there's a very real possibility that shortly after a trial, he could be put to death. How many of you would go, joy? Not my first response. That's all I can say. But that's his response. Now, if you read us through once again, he is in the Spirit saying, I don't see that happening to me. He's looking forward to getting back to them. But there is this possibility. And so he's in prison. And so what could be seen with the physical senses as rather a difficult or trying situation? He looked at all of it in joy. And so that's how we want to look at this whole forest. It's presented in joy. For those of you that maybe didn't pick up on this love theme or this joy theme, when you go back and read it again, kind of just look for that. You'll see it. Joy is just throughout everywhere. The love theme is hidden in there in a few places, but if you read it that way, you'll get the idea that it is rooted and grounded in love. In fact, we're going to look at a few of the verses. Once again, not in detail, because we're not yet wanting to look specifically at the trees. But I just want to show you a few areas where you could have seen that, okay, joy is greatly involved in this. Philippians 1, 3, and 4, right at the very beginning of the book, says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy. I read that, and just because of the way I wind up talking, some people say sometimes a southern accent creeps in. I don't know how, but I thought he might be from the south, but if he was, he just said y'all. But it's so you all. Okay. So, but notice what's happening here. And this actually stood out to me right away. Right from the very beginning of this letter, Paul talks about one of the things that brings the joy that's inside of him out of him. Okay, joy is in you. It's one of the things we've read. God has put it in there. Joy is in there. Whether you're walking in it or not, that's up to you. But joy is in there. Okay, it's a fruit of the Spirit, and the Spirit resides in you. Okay? All you've got to do is do what you're supposed to let it out. And actually, this passage tells you one way to let it out. I hadn't seen this before, but when I read it, let's read the end of that again. Always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy. You want to know a way to let joy out? Start praying for people. Absolutely. Think about what you're doing. In prayer, you're spending time with God, right? And what does the Bible say happens when you spend time with God? In his presence is what? Fullness of joy. So guess what? When you're praying for people, you don't have to be in some somber mood. Paul says, I'm praying this, and I'm praying for you in joy. Joy is coming out. I love you people, and I'm praying for you in joy. Okay? I think sometimes we can get too religious, too spiritual. I don't know if there's such a thing as too spiritual. We are to be spiritual because we are spirit, but what that can mean to certain people can make them act in a certain way. What I want you to see, what God impressed upon me here was to share with you, it doesn't have to be that way all the time. I'm not to say that there can't be times when that's the case. But here, Paul is praying, and it's bringing out the joy of the Lord in him as he prays for these people. And so God can do that. If he did it for Paul, it means he can do it for you guys too. Okay? So be praying for those that you know that God leads you to direct, and pray in joy. If you love them, I think you'll find there's some joy involved in there, okay? And that's probably part of the key, is if love's not involved, you might be wasting your time with the prayer anyhow. Because it says, let all that you do be done with love, right? So if you're not doing it in love, don't know what the result's going to be looking like. But if in fact you really do love these that you're praying for, don't be surprised if you pray in joy, okay? It just jumped out at me, is all I will say. Once again, not looking for details, but certain things will always jump out to you. It just doesn't mean that may not be the main theme, okay? So let's look at another passage, Philippians 1, 15 through 18. We look further down into chapter 1. And it says, some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from self-ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains. But the latter out of love. There's that thread of love in there. Some are preaching out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. Now, this once again stood out to me in that he's rejoicing when the gospel's going forth either in the right way or the wrong way. Either way. So he's going to rejoice no matter what. I think that's a good lesson for us. Rejoice no matter what. Whether it's going the way you think it needs to go or the way that it's not, you don't think it should go. You have one option. Rejoice. And once again, this could be just speaking to me, but I think sometimes when we start looking at things, we can go, that's not going well. And I'm not rejoicing in that. Well, Paul gives us an example. I mean, he's talking about people speaking against him and against what he's doing and how he's doing it. And he says, I rejoice even in that because the word of God is going forth. And God's going to take that word and he's going to do something with it, whether they're doing it right or wrong. And see, to me, once again, that speaks to me because as I'm up here getting to share, back when I first started doing this in the early 1990s, I only had what I would call one fear. It's not good having fear at all, but I had one when I first started. And my fear was, I kind of looked at it like it was a good thing, but fear is never a good thing, okay? But I thought, really, my only fear was I didn't want to share something that was going to be wrong and lead someone the wrong way, okay? Now, that may sound good, and it should be some truth, but yeah, I shouldn't have fear over that. Why? And here's why. What God over time showed me was, you can share it wrong, and I'm going to make sure they get it right anyhow. Amen. That takes all the pressure off from me. That's how I'm able to get up here and share what I do, going, I don't got to worry about that. It's not my job to get it to you right. Yep. Even if I mess it up, God's going to get it to you right. And I put my confidence in him, not in me. Okay? So, but Paul's saying that, I rejoice whether it's done right or wrong, because God's going to take something out of that and make it work for good. Okay? So let's go on and look at one more. And as I would tell you, I forget, someone told me the exact number they counted. It seemed to me it was like 14 or 16 times that it's in there. I'm only showing you like three of them. Okay? For now, we're going to go back and look at some of them more once we start breaking this down into trees and limbs and things like that. But Philippians chapter 2, verses 17 and 18 says, yes, and if I am be poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason you also be glad and rejoice with me. Paul is saying, just as Jesus rejoiced in pouring out his life for us. See, going to that cross wasn't necessarily a fun thing, but it actually says that he rejoiced, that he was in joy. He went there because he knew the result. See, Paul is rejoicing in pouring his life out for the people of Philippi, just as God poured his life out for all of us. Why? Because he loved them, just as Jesus loves us, and he knows the result of pouring his life out. God's going to do something through the work that God has given him to do in the church of Philippi. Okay? So, now we're going to go on to, we've talked about love and the fact that this is what the forest is rooted and grounded in. This is where it's planted. And that the fact that there is fruit in this forest and that fruit is joy. And that's how the whole thing is presented. Now we're going to look at what I would call one of the main themes. And I will tell you that one person shared what I would call option two to me. And in fact, that option was the one that after God directed me to do this, I went back and read, I don't know how many of you in your Bible, they have this little opening and they'll tell you what the book is about. And I encouraged all of you, and I hope you listen, don't read that. Because then once again, you'll have a bias, and you'll see that when you read it. Okay? So one person read it, and they saw unity. And I can tell you that unity is in this from the beginning to end. Okay? And others of you who had not gotten back to me, that you may have seen that too. I just didn't hear that back except for one person. However, once I read the commentary or that little opening after I had done this, I go, yep, that's in there from beginning to end. And so that's a very possible choice to pick out as a main theme because it's beginning to end. But what I will tell you is, and I'm going to share this once again, not that there's a right or wrong, because I'm going to encourage you. If he showed you unity, then look at the whole book out of the unity, because that's the way he's having you look at it, and then start looking at the trees and the branches and the verses to see more what he's speaking about unity to you. But if, in fact, he shared with you what he shared with me and my sister, because we're an awful lot alike, if you will look in there, you will see that this book is about, you can use one of two words. I told you I used one word to use what she used two. I like her two words in her translation even better. This whole book's about the good news. And if you read it, you're going to see the good news, the good news, the good news, the good news, the good news from beginning to end. Paul is sharing the good news with the people of Philippians. And this is what he's doing from beginning to end. Your version may say, like mine, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the gospel is the good news. Okay? So I grew up not too far from a forest. In fact, the little town that I lived in, and Bob may be able to, knowing the town enough because he's lived in this area much of his life too. This little town of roughly, when I grew up, it had about 7,500 people. There might be, what, 3,000 there now, Bob? Four? Okay. 4,000 people. But I lived in what would be kind of the northeastern corner of the town. In fact, I live one block from being able to be in the woods. So I was in a residential section, but if I walked a block, I could be in the woods and walk for like 3 miles and never come out. Okay? And I enjoyed being in the woods. I loved it. I am not and never was a hunter, but I loved walking in the woods. And so one of the things I want to do today is encourage you to not be in a hurry to get what's on the other side of the woods. Sometimes you go somewhere to get to the other side. As you go into this forest that we're calling forest, the book of Philippians, go in and walk around for a while. Enjoy it. Enjoy looking at the trees and the different leaves and seeing all what's in there. Don't be focused on, okay, I got through that. Let's check this box off. I made it through. Let's go in and stay there for a while and enjoy the forest. Okay? That's just an encouragement for me. I'm enjoying this thoroughly, I have to tell you. I hope that you get to enjoy it as much as I have been from what God is having me do. So I also live close to an entire big forest, and the name was Cook's Forest. And it was within half an hour of my house, and we would go there and, once again, just enjoy the forest. Go out and camp out, actually, you know, have a fire, have, you know, a picnic lunch out or whatever. I found that fun. So go ahead and go into the book of Philippians and just camp out there for a while and enjoy it. And see how much God shows you when you're in there. Now, I'm going to kind of end today with what I'm referring to as the gospel, or in other words, the good news. And by referring to, this is only a small portion of what the good news is. And we're going to talk about this a little bit more as we go on. We only have just a little over 5 minutes left as I look at the clock. And so there's much more I want to share in this. But for those of you who have pen and paper, if you want to write this down, these are just some of the things that God pointed out to me, that when we see this phrase and see that this book is about the good news, here's some things we should be thinking about. Here's what that good news means when we look at the whole word of God. First of all, his death on the cross. Do you know that that's good news? Yes. Death sounds bad, but boy, for us, that is awful good news. Okay? Because without it, we'd be in a whole lot of trouble. We wouldn't be where we're at today, that's for sure. We wouldn't be new creations. Okay? We wouldn't be able to walk quite the way that we walk and join out, because the Holy Spirit just wouldn't be there. Think about it. The Old Testament, it had to come upon people. Now the Holy Spirit resides in us. That's actually going to be one of the points further down too. So one of the things is his death on the cross. That's part of the good news. The promise that went with that, that if the believer believes and follows Jesus, they will be saved. Is that not good news? That if we believe on Jesus, who went and died on that cross for us, that we're saved. We are saved. Great news. I can't think of anything too much better than that. But so all of this is great news. And this is what we should be getting every time we read the word gospel or good news as we go through Philippians. His resurrection to restore people's relationships with God. Great news. I can go to God at any time. I'm his son because he restored that relationship. Great news. I just think back to the way things worked in the Old Testament, and they show us a lot about the New Testament, but I'm thankful, man, I don't have to go out and kill a bunch of animals to deal with my sin. The good news, I can just go to God, go, I repent, and that relationship is just, wow, it's good. That quick. That's good news. I don't know about you, I just can't see myself slaying goats, and that's just not me. Some of you may find that fine. You go out and hunt and use, carve up the deer, but never been my idea of fun, okay? The blood and guts. I'll put it that way. So it's great news that relationship has been restored. The coming of the Holy Spirit. Great news, as I've already mentioned. He leads us. He guides us. He leads us into truth. All of this is part of the good news. He teaches us what we need to make it through the days. Also, the healing that comes that deals with the broken world. Think about the curse that came. If Christ didn't come, we'd still be living subject to that state. But there is a healing that comes in Christ that ought to be to us really good news. Okay? He came, he received those stripes on his body so that we don't have to live anymore under that curse. The Bible says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Well, part of death is the sickness and disease that all leads up to it too. It's not that that law doesn't still exist, because it exists for those still living in the world. But that law of sin and death's done away for us. We're going to live eternally. We still may get sick here, but we also have a provision from the provider of health to even help us and deal with that in the natural. Okay? Good news. All of this really good news. And finally, is the last thing that I'm going to mention. And once again, I'm only mentioning a few of these, because what I will tell you is, as you read the Bible, it's all good news. You can pick out, I'm giving you like six of them. If you can't come up with 100, there's something wrong. I'm serious. It's just filled with good news. And that's what Paul is sharing with them there. And once again, if you go back and read it, you're going to see gospel and good news from beginning to end. He's sharing the good news with the people of Philippians. Last in that, the good news is that God, through Jesus, has given us a hope. See, without this happening, this good news, they really didn't have this hope. But now we have the hope of his return. Our coming King, he's coming back. I don't know about you. That's really good news. That's the way I look at it. It might be the best news out of all of them. He's coming back, and he's taking me and you, all of you who are his, with him to heaven for eternity to enjoy a better life than we even have now on earth. It's like great news. Okay? So these are just a few. But as you read through this again, which I'm going to encourage you, read through this again, but with a second way of looking at it now. Maybe you'll see some of these things that I've mentioned today as you read it. But in this next reading, what I want you to do is look at the trees. And by trees, I mean, let me give you an example in the natural. When you go into a forest, you don't just see one pine tree. You'll see like a group of them. Or you'll see a group of hardwoods. Maybe you'll see some, a group of oaks over here or whatever. So what I want you to do is, as you go through, don't read it by chapter, the way your Bible divides it. Those chapters weren't there when this was sent out. This was a letter. Don't read it in, some of your Bibles may even give you subdivisions within the chapters. Don't read those. These are your instructions. Not saying it's wrong other times, but if you do it this way, you're not obeying instructions. Once again, this person, because of the way I am, I follow detailed instructions. Once again, just me. You may not be quite like that, so this may be a little more difficult for you. Okay? So I'm asking you to follow instructions and don't look at those subdivisions. Don't look at them as chapters, but rather go in and let the Holy Spirit lead you and go, okay, what's this section about of it about? What type of tree? We're going to name it a tree. What's this section about? What's this section about? What's this section about? And see the different trees, per se, as a way of looking at it. And jot those down. Okay? Some of you may have done that initially, even in this reading. But that's what I want you to go back and do this time, because then we're going to start looking at these sections of the forest next week. So that's where I'm going to need to wrap up today, because my time is up. Well, I'm also grateful that because it's a series, I can stop wherever and pick up wherever, because I can tell you I didn't plan on wrapping up there today, but I also know I have more time. So that's a good thing. So Father God, we just thank you for your word today. We thank you that you promise us that your word brings life. And we receive this life from you and from your word and look forward to more of you, you showing us more of your truth, that we may become more like you. For we know that's your desire, and we desire it too. So we thank you in advance for all that you're going to do. In the name of Jesus, amen.